Thank you so much to all of you. I'm shorter than Pastor Monty, so. I just wanted to thank you personally for being so wonderful to my family. First, I know earlier this year my dad had a stroke, and you've been so loving, and also so loving my mom with her health situation. So thank you so very much from me as her son. I know it touches my heart very much. I did want to mention, give my condolences to Brother John and his family. Very sad thing. So definitely be in prayer for them, and I'll be praying for them. I just want to let you know, give you just a very quick update on what's going on in Texas. I know a lot of you ask, and ask my mom a lot, you know, what's going on down in Texas. And we're getting into our second semester of Christian school. It starts on Monday. We use a Becca DVD school there, and it's, we have 16 students. It was amazing how the Lord provided all the materials and the equipment we needed for school, and it's just been so amazing. Had a wonderful year, and parents are pleased. Amen. So that's what we strive for, that, and also that they're getting a good, solid education. And one of the testimonies of our parents, one of the parents, they're sending their kids to another institution not far away, and they were going there. They had thought about the school. They had looked at the school and said, well, maybe for next year. And they were there. Then their kids came home one day and said, you know, every day, Mom and Dad, every day we get off the bus, we get cussed out. Every day, Mom and Dad, we get made fun of because we're Christians. And so, Dad, there's, you know what? There's a Christian school, and there's a place where we can send our kids. They don't have to worry about that. They can get a good, godly education. And he decided to put them into school. And one of them's in first grade. And I don't know if you're familiar with Becca at all or not, but a couple weeks ago in church, well, a little first grader, she's 6 years old, and she rattles off, I think it's two Psalms, complete two. I mean, it took her like 5 minutes to go way through it, but she did it word perfect. So I was like, wow, that's a testament to the good curriculum there. So very thankful. And I'm very thankful for Pensacola Christian College. It taught me many things, and I used to work for Rebecca, so I'm very thankful for that. But some new things on the horizon. For we're getting a new youth pastor. We're getting a youth pastor next week, actually, moving in. Have a youth pastor. And then also, a lot of you know Landry Moss. He's going to be an intern with us for a year after he gets married next summer, this coming summer. So we're very excited in the connection that we have. And I'm up here to spend some time with my parents, but also I know Pastor Monty said about this church being a launching pad for preachers. I'm very thankful. And I get to know his joy a little bit for one of the teenagers in our church. He is going to be going to Indiana Baptist College here. He's actually coming up here on Saturday. So I'm here to kind of deposit him real quick. And I say, okay, and I'll drop you on the doorstep there and pat you on the back. And I got to go back home. But I know that family here and at the college will take good care of him. So Pastor Mice can keep an eye on him. So I let his mom know. I said, don't worry, there's like three pastors. The president of the college, they're all looking out for him. So keep your nose clean. So, But we're very excited about that. But just wonderful things God is doing. And just be in prayer for us as we continue to grow and minister to the military at Fort Hood. And tonight, if you can take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And I'm very excited for Pastor Monty mentioned. Last night, I was ordained into the gospel ministry. And I was just thinking just now, I better preach a good message because I want Pastor Monty to sign it. So I brought it with me. So he hasn't signed it yet. So I better be careful. But tonight, John chapter 8. And this is a new year. And I want to say happy 2014 to everybody. And it's been a wonderful year last year, full of many things. And this next year coming, I was reading, I saw a tweet from Pastor Monty that this year is an empty basket. Box. It's an empty box or basket. Box, okay, empty box that only that God and you can fill. And so, but it's up to you. There's choices you'll have to make. Are you going to choose God? Are you going to choose the godly way? Or are you going to choose the way of the devil and the flesh and the world? And that choice is given to us every single day that we live. Every single day we have a choice to make. And tonight I want to talk to you about the light of the world. The light of the world, that is Jesus Christ. Last week we celebrated Christmas, the traditional time where Jesus, we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he said this of himself in John chapter 8 in verse number 12. That'll be our text for tonight, John chapter 8 in verse number 12. And God's word says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer before we go on tonight. Let us pray. Dearly Father, I thank you for tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to preach to these wonderful people. They have been such a blessing to my family and a blessing to me personally. I thank you, dear Lord, for the ministry of Pastor Monty and Pastor Lopez, Pastor Wall, and all the ones that have been here in the past. Lord, I'm just so thankful for them. I pray that you would uplift them. Lord, we think of Brother John right now as his family is grieving right now and his heart is broken and our hearts break with him, dear Lord. I pray that you would be with this young man's parents as well. What a tragic thing. Nothing, not expected, but Lord, you know the needs there. I pray that you give comfort and peace that passeth all understanding. I pray that you be with them. I pray that you be with me as I preach this message, dear Lord, that we would be encouraged, that we would be the lights that we ought to be. Dear Lord, help us to be effective in 2014. Help us, Lord, to change lives by being used by you. Lord, I pray that you bless in a mighty way tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The light of the world. I mentioned before, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the light coming into the world. And we all need light. For I don't think any of us would really, in our right mind, would sit in here with all the lights off. I'd hope not anyways. And I mean, I'm sure if you sit in a dark room and for a long time, and that's how prisoners of war over the years, that how to get them depressed, how to get them demoralized, how to get them defeated is to sit them in a dark room, in a solitary confinement cell, in a dark and windowless room. But you know what? We don't have to live in this dark. We have to live here, but we don't have to live in the darkness that the world has to offer. This world is a dark place. Pastor Monty commented just a little while ago, this world is full of sorrow. It is. It is full of sorrow. But we serve a Lord and a Savior that is full of peace, that's full of comfort, and also, most importantly, is full of light. Life. Light. And that's my first point tonight. The light has come into the world. We know the account in Luke chapter 2, how Jesus came, how Jesus was born into the world, how we came to know him, and how he came in not the grandiose way that in a worldly sense we would expect a king to be born. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in the top of the world, so to speak. He was born in a manger. He was born in a stable. He was born in humbleness, born to humble parents, not the way in a human sense that a king would be born. But he was the light. He was the light. John chapter 8, verse number 12, he said this of himself, "I am the light of the world." Isn't it wonderful? We don't have to live without a flashlight. We don't have to live our lives. We can live our lives with the Word of God. I think many times, wasn't it wonderful that we have this book, that we have the Word of God, that when we just get saved and we don't know what to do, we don't know what direction to go in, we can go to the book, but think of those that don't have the Bible around the world. We take for granted this book many times. We take for granted that all over this world, people either don't have the Bible, they're not able to have access to it in communist countries around the world. I know during the Soviet Union, the bloc countries, these people, they would, when they get a Bible, they would kiss it and they would appreciate it. They would love it because they wanted to know the Word of God. There's tribes all over this world that don't have the Bible in their language. That's why I appreciate the ministry so much of First Bible and their ministry to get that Bible into the hands, because it is our light. For Jesus is the Word, but He's also the light. And isn't it wonderful that we're able to have that light? Just imagine just being saved and then there's no light. There's no guidance. But God is merciful. God is loving. He wants to guide you. He wants to take you step by step by step through this next year with this book. With preaching, with being in church. I'm so glad to see so many here tonight. What a better way to start the year than in God's house. In church. Where God is. He is the light. The gospel is the light of this world. The truth that came. There is a lot of truth out there, so-called. I was reading 1 and 2 Timothy over the last couple of days before my ordination, and one of the things that Paul repeated to Timothy over and over and over again is that stick to the truth. Stick to the book. Don't get all over here with all the popular philosophies. There's a lot of people that say there's truth out there. I come from Central Texas, okay? I flew out of Killeen, went to Houston, and I don't know anything about Houston. One of the things there, that is the home of Joel Osteen. And I don't know about you. I'm a little closer to him than you do, but I don't know. Joel Osteen chaps my hide. He really does, because he is leading millions of people into doctrinal error and into false profession of faith as well. There's many ways to God. He got on Good Morning America, would not call homosexuality an abomination to God. And this is the Christian leader of today. There's a church in our town, for there's a lot of churches in our town that profess, hey, we have the light over here, but they teach a work salvation. They teach that you had to be baptized in order to be saved. And these are the churches that have 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people. There's one church in our town called Destiny, and it's actually backed by Joel Osteen. It's like kind of an under umbrella church of his. And so everyone goes there, and they hear the truth. You know what? You know what? They need to be hearing the truth. They need to be seeing the light that we have to give. For Jesus is the light. But you know, when we get saved, we were dark before we were saved. Our hearts, we were dead spiritually. We were dark. We didn't have any light in us. There was nothing inside of us that could manufacture even the little bit, most bit of light. We were lost. That's why we're called lost when we're not saved. Because we're lost in the world. We're lost in our sin. We don't know where to go until someone came with what? A light. Today, this is the way to Jesus Christ. This is the way. Are you going to be that light? Do you know the gospel? Anybody that's been saved, let's ask him, do you know the gospel? If you don't know the gospel, then I don't think you're saved. Because we need to understand the gospel, understand what it is, what Jesus did for us, and what we're required to do in order to be saved. Jesus paid the price for our sin, but all we have to do is accept in faith the free gift of salvation. If we understand that, we can be a witness. Well, I don't have the verses all memorized down the way I need to. Guess what? Neither do I. I don't know about you. I'm one of those people, when I memorize something, I memorize it, pressure time. I was like that in college. I would memorize something. I'd have the verses down pat. I don't know. I have several Pensacola Christian College graduates and students right now, and you know that midterm and finals verse exams aren't easy. And I was famous for this. I'd get it down. I'd practice for a week, and then I would miss like two verses in the whole thing. And you know, sometimes we can go through, we can get it all memorized, get the plan all down. You know, just tell what happened to you. Give your testimony. Tell, hey, this is how Jesus saved me. Share that with them. Share that with your coworker, because you're a light. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, if you would. Matthew chapter 5. And this is the passage in the Bible we call the Beatitudes. But right at the end, what does Jesus command us to do? Matthew chapter number 5, verses 14 and through 16 tonight. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are light. We don't manufacture our own light, but we reflect, when we're saved, we reflect the light of our Savior. We reflect that light. And you know what? Our testimony, the way that we live, the Bible calls it our conversation. The way we speak, but our lifestyle, the way we speak, the way we act, where we go, what we do, who our friends are, and most importantly, how we talk about the Lord. With our lifestyle, with our conversation, maybe you're thinking back. Think back to this year. Were you the right kind of testimony to those that were around you? Were you that witness at work? Were you that witness in your family? Or did you bring shame to the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ? Did you bring shame to His name? And maybe some of us think back, those are painful things. Well, that doesn't have to be the case this year. You have a choice to make. It doesn't have to be that way this year. You don't understand, that's the way I've always been. Well, praise the Lord, I'm not the way I always used to be. I praise the Lord that He changes. I praise the Lord that He changes us. He takes us. You know what? When we're saved, we're not too pretty. I don't know about the past of some of you. And maybe it's like, well, I wasn't saved out of much. You're saved out of sin. We're all dirty, rotten, filthy sinners before God. The sooner we accept that, the better. Amen. Because what did Jesus say? Don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. But that's exactly where we are. We're all on the same footing. We're all sinners going to hell. But then Jesus saved us. He cleaned us up. And you know what? We're all a diamond in the rough. But we have to let Jesus work on us. Have to let Jesus clean us up. We have to let Jesus chip away the impurity so that we can shine. But we have a choice to make. We can not let the master jeweler work on us. We can not let the master jeweler get his chisel out. You know what? I don't think that diamond enjoys the chiseling. Okay, imagine you're a diamond getting a hammer or chisel. I don't think that's an enjoyable experience. It not always is to be changed by God because it's against our nature. It's against our flesh. But you know what? We need to live spiritual. Walk in the Spirit, Ephesians says. Walk in the Spirit. And this year, are we going to be that light? And you can't be light if you're not walking in the Spirit of God. You can't be that light. You can't be that witness. Because that light lives in our hearts. That's number two tonight. That light lives in our hearts. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 6. Are we going to let our light shine or are we going to hide it under a bushel? Because at that time they had candles, they had oil lamps, and you didn't just light something and put it under a bushel. Because you're lighting something, what? To give light. I wanted to bring a candle up here, but my wife wouldn't let me. I didn't want to burn down Faith Baptist Church. So I know you're getting a new building and everything. I didn't want to hurry the process. So, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Aren't you so glad He did? The light to shine out of darkness has shined in what? Our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful verse. Given us light that shines in our heart. No matter how dark our path may be, we have a light. No matter how dark our circumstances, there is a light. No matter how dark the path goes, how dark our emotions go, there's still light. So many people, and we live in a military town. Fort Hood is a military town, and you wouldn't believe the number of soldiers that take their own life. Because they don't have any light. They don't have any hope. We have something that a dying world needs. We have something that they want. But do we tell them about it? It's not politically correct to talk about it. Never has been. That's nothing new. Back in the New Testament church in Rome, I don't think it wasn't politically correct to be a Christian because you got thrown to the gladiators. Thrown to the lions. It's never been politically correct. Doesn't matter. Those men and those women, even children, died because they were light. People knew that they were a Christian. Do people know you're a Christian? Because we live in the day of age of camouflage Christians. You know, I have a shotgun. I like hunting. And my wife got me camo for my birthday. So I know what I'm saying. Camouflage has its place. But not in our everyday life where people can't tell that we're a Christian. Because do people have this reaction when they meet you and they get to know you for a little while? You're a Christian? Whoa, I couldn't tell. And it shocks them. And then they start calculating, thinking back maybe what you said, maybe that curse word you said, or maybe that drink you took with them at the bar or at a party. And they kind of think about it as like, they're a Christian. And you know what you did? You ruined an inroad. You ruined an opportunity to give them light, because you're not letting your light shine. You're hiding it under a bushel, hiding it under your sin. Don't let the devil put it out. We know the song we sing in children's church, "This Little Light of Mine." You know, we all get our lights out and turn around. And, you know, but that's such a powerful song. Take that light out. We teach kids to do that. I think we need to teach more adults to do that. More grown-up Christians, take your light out and let it shine. Not in a proud way, not in an arrogant way. But in a humble, the way that Jesus had His light. He gave that light out. Don't be afraid to let it shine. Because that's why we don't let it shine. Because we're afraid. What if someone doesn't like me? They're not going to like you anyway. Amen? We shouldn't base our life on who likes us and who doesn't. We shouldn't base how we act. Oh, someone might get offended. Is Jesus going to be offended? Amen. We need to start thinking that way. Hey, what does, and we know that catch word and it was so overused. What would Jesus do? No, what does Jesus think of me? Well, is Jesus ashamed? His word promises if we deny him, he'll deny us. Not that we lose our salvation, but he will deny us. But don't let the devil put it out. Turn to Philippians chapter 1, if you would. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27. Don't let Satan put out that light. Don't let him do it. And he's going to try. Like, well, I've decided I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to do better. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do the best I can. That's wonderful. The devil's aiming at you right this very second. Because you know what he's going to try and do? He's going to nip it in the bud. He's going to try, and you try and do right, so I'm going to do better. I'm going to get over my anger problem. I'm going to ask for power from God, and I'm going to change. And more importantly, don't say you're going to change. God's going to change you. But you got to make the decision. You got to take the step, and he helps you. But I'm going to do this, or I'm going to let God change this in my life. I want to be more effective. I want to give more to missions, whatever it is. You know what he's going to do? The devil's going to come out, and he's going to go, boom, and he's going to hit you. And just when I'm going to give to missions, guess what? You have a bill. Amen? That's what happens. Oh, I'm going to give more to the church. I'm going to give more to the building project. And all this comes up. He's aiming at you. But then you have to stick by the decision that you made. Do you have faith in the Lord? In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says this, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. But whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Now turn over to Philippians 3:20, just a couple pages over. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? I was listening to a sermon by Dr. Bob Jones Sr. about a month ago. And I'd heard this before, him say this before, but it really hit me. He goes, we're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven. And that's the truth. Do we live our life like we live it here all the time? That it's going to be permanent. That's what we treat it so many times. Hey, I'm going to keep it here. I'm going to stay here forever. But when you die, do you take your money, your possessions, all the things with you? No. You go to heaven. But do you live a life here? If you live a life here and your mindset here, you're going to have a lot of worldly rewards. But nothing when you get to heaven. We're here temporarily. Think about that. We're going to be in heaven for how long? 50 years, 100, 1,000, forever. Amen. We'll be with the Lord Jesus. But there'll be no reward there, though we have wasted what God was trying to do with us. We wasted our affections because we got caught up with the things of the world. We're not citizens here. This next year, let's live like we're not citizens here. Because a citizen of the world acts like the world, does the things of the world. But a citizen of heaven says, hey, those things aren't for me. Those things aren't profitable. Those things aren't edifying. Those things are not what I need to be doing. Because this world needs a light. That's number three. The world needs a light. Will you go and spread the light? There's a lot of young people in here tonight. Are you going to go spread the light? Who, me? Yes, you. Yes, you. This front row right here. Yes, you. Are you going to go and spread the light? Are you submitted if the Lord leads you to be a missionary? To be a preacher. To go and volunteer at the mission. I know many of you do that. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for Good News Ministries. That they go and they change lives all over Indianapolis. The world needs light. I don't think we have to look very far to realize our world's in a mess. We're in trouble. With the government getting down to regulating everything that we do. I don't know if you knew this, but 40 and 60 watt light bulbs are out. I was like, it's so funny. It's funny. It's kind of an insignificant thing that really the government's concerned about our light bulbs. Kind of scary if you think about it. What else are they concerned with? That's more important. But will you learn to spread light? I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. Well, first live a life that has light, then learn how to spread it. Learn the book. If you're in the book every day and you're learning from it, you're doing your devotions, you're praying, and you would be surprised how even many pastors don't do their devotions. Pastor Harvey told me that when he was out on the road doing evangelism for a couple of years, he was surprised that a lot of them didn't do family devotions. That's something that's been lost in our day. Sitting down with your family, taking the Word of God. I'm not saying make a doctrinal dissertation on the Word of God, but saying a few verses, having a memory verse time, and praying with your family. That's been lost. So a lot of pastors don't even do that. And a lot of pastors, even though they didn't spend a lot of time in devotion and prayer, we wonder why our churches are falling apart. Christendom, even independent Baptists, some of them are falling away, changing. Doesn't matter. Don't let that discourage you, because we have to make a decision. You know what David said? He said, my heart is fixed. No matter what happens around me, though everyone forsakes me, no matter what happens, my heart is fixed on God, fixed on the Lord. His heart was fixed on Jehovah. Do you think David went through all that he went through, being sought after by Saul, went through all of that, and went through all of his family turning against him, and God brought him out of the sin with Bathsheba, went through all of that. Do you think that he would have been able to do that if he hadn't made up his mind yet? If he was kind of sitting on the fence and like, well, I think I'll... No, he had decided when he was young. He decided when he was a boy, before he was chosen to be king of Israel. That's why God chose him, because his heart was fixed and God knew it. He had made a decision. I'm going to serve God no matter what. Had he made that decision? I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it. I tell you it's worth it. But it should, doesn't. We judge things that way. Is it worth it? Is it this or that? It's not about that. It's about obeying. It's about loving the Lord. Because sometimes we obey God out of obedience, but do you love Him? Do you love the Lord? Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you love Him because He first loved you? Isn't that what the Bible says? We love Him because He first loved us. Do we love Him? And if we love Him, we can't help but shed that light out. If we're hiding our light, we're hiding it. You know what we're doing? We're ashamed of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. We're ashamed. Is God going to use you to shine that light to that family member? To that co-worker? Oh, they'll resent me for it. Who cares? Tell them the truth before it's too late. Don't miss the opportunities to be a light bearer. That's one of the greatest privileges of being a Christian. He gave us the responsibility to bear that light out. To bear it. To show it around. To be a light in the world. And trust me, this world needs a lot of light. There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of sorrow. But there's Jesus. Aren't you glad there's a Jesus? Aren't you glad that He's just not an imaginary thing that so many people say, oh, He's just a crutch? One of our church members is going to college, and she has to take philosophy class. And she goes, Pastor, it's horrible, because they go around and they said this is the ultimate truth. And they openly scoff and mock the Bible and scoff God. That's the world's philosophy. Know what the Bible says? That they that will walk godly shall. Not could, not might, but shall suffer persecution. Shall. Whoa, I didn't sign up for that. He gave His life for you. He died agonizingly. The least that we can do is live for Him. So tonight, maybe those sins that are in your life, you're turning over a new leaf, that's wonderful, that's great. But are you doing it for you, or are you doing it for Him? If you're doing it for you, the moment that it's not convenient for you, you're going to pitch it. That decision won't last, but you'd make it because I love Jesus, and I want to be closer to Him. This year, make it a goal that you will be closer to Jesus Christ, you'll be closer to God in your walk with Him than any year before. If you can look back at any time in your life, think back right now. So I was closer to God at some time in the past, closer than I am right now. If that's true, if you're closer to God in the past, you're backslidden. You're backslidden. Maybe not real far, but you're going the wrong way. Life's a hill. And the only way to go up the hill is to go in drive. As soon as you go in neutral, what happens when you put your car in neutral on a hill? You go backwards. The same way. We're going constantly up, going towards heaven. And trust me, it's steep in some places. It gets steep. But He's always there. He is always there. So make it your goal. I'm going to be that light bearer. I'm going to shine forth. I'm going to have that testimony. I'm going to be bold. Boy, we need boldness today. Need boldness to call out sin. I don't know about you. I have a tough time sometimes containing myself. I hear the filthy language all over the place. You go to Walmart, you hear it and everything. I was at a place today, and this person was just cussing and cussing and cussing. I'm just glad I was walking, because if I had stayed there, I would have said something. I'd be careful. I say things because I'm a pastor, but do we speak up in a kind and loving way? I said, hey, maybe you shouldn't say that. Please don't say that. And people have asked me, well, why shouldn't I say it? I said, because it offends my God and it offends me. Most of the time people are like, oh. But if you do it in love and do it in the right way, people respond the right way. Sometimes they don't. But let's be that witness. Be that light. Tonight, we make that decision. Will you fix your heart on Him and allow God to change you this year? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for all that are here. Lord, help us to be effective in 2014. Lord, You have used this past year to change us, to challenge us, and to try us. Lord, there'll be trials to come. There'll be burdens to bear in the future. But Lord, help us to realize where those things come from. That sin comes from the devil, that attacks will come. Lord, I pray that those out there tonight, that they will fix their hearts and protect them. Give them encouragement. For Lord, I know that the devil's going to go right after them. The devil's going to go and try and discourage that, because there's nothing the devil fears more than those that are dedicated to You, dear Lord. Lord, burden us to pray. Pray like never before. There's power in prayer. There's power in a life lived for You. I pray that You would use us. Lord, I pray that You would bless in a mighty way the remainder of our evening tonight. Lord, I pray that You be with ones that are grieving right now. Lord, I just pray that You'd be with this church. Thank You so much for the great effectiveness that it has had for You and will continue to have. And help us, Lord, to remember how precious our salvation is. Thank You, dear Lord. We pray all these things in Your precious and holy name. Amen.